I'll read chapter 28 first, not very long, so still good teaching in it. Okay, verse 1 of chapter 28. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. I could stop right there and make a sermon out of that one, but I'll let it go for now. Verse 2, for the transgressors of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. A poor man that oppresses the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaves no food. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Better is the poor that walks in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Whoso keeps the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of the righteous men shames his father. He that by usury and unjust gain increases his substance, he shall gather it in for him that will pity the poor. He that turns away his ear from the hearing of the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Whoso causes the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that has understanding searches him out. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory, but when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that fears always, but he that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief. As a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. The prince that wants understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hates covetousness shall prolong his days. A man that does violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. Whosoever walks uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. He that tills his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that makes haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good, because or for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hastes to be rich has an evil eye, and considers not that poverty shall come upon him. He that rebukes a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flatters with the tongue. Whoso robs his father or his mother and says, "It's no transgression," the same is the companion of a destroyer. He that is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walks wisely, he shall be delivered. He that gives to the poor shall not lack, but he that hides his eyes shall have many a curse. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. Now we know we're coming to the conclusion of this book of Proverbs, three or four more chapters, but we have to realize that now that we have come down through this roadmap of life, it tells us how we should be living our life. Now we're beginning to look at things in Solomon's eyes. He's starting to see observations that he's observed through a period of time. He's beginning to see that there's things that life will teach you. And he's using these, I'll call them parables for lack of a word other than that. He's using analogies of things that happen in life that we need to be able to see. So when we see these similar things, similar patterns, that we'll know what he's trying to show us. Does that make sense? So now we're going to look at things through the eyes of a wise man who's gotten older in life. He's been around a few years. And he's beginning to see things from a mature standpoint. And now, from here on out, we're going to see things from a different perspective than we saw from the first part of the book. So he's coming to the end now. He's starting to see things in a much different, clearer view. Okay? And in this first verse, he sees something, and he states and says, "The wicked flee when no man or nothing pursues them." Where's it all coming from? From the mind, see? than cherubim work on them. But the righteous or the just are as bold or as confident or have confidence as a lion. Now, who would the lion represent? The lion of the tribe of Judah, huh? It's the positive, but it's the lion of tribe of Judah. It's either Christ. Jesus was very confident. Did you know that? Let's look at some bold verses. Matthew 7, 28 and 9. Okay? Turn to Matthew 7, 28 and 29. I want to take you through just a few verses. Verse 28 says, "And it came to pass when Jesus ended his sayings, and the people were astonished at his doctrines, because he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes or the religious people." Hello? See what he's saying? He had authority. They were astonished at the things he said because it didn't line up with what the religious folks said of the day. Okay? Let's go to Matthew 13, 54. It says this. I'm going to read 53 along with it. "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, When has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother Mary? And his brethren Jacob and Joseph and Simon and Judah?" They didn't know what to do. They didn't want to believe. And it says, going down to 58 verse, "And he did not many works there because of their unbelief." See, but he had power and authority, but they didn't recognize it. And their lack of belief wouldn't let it work. In their mind, it couldn't work. But he had the power and authority, and I'm trying to show you the Christ in you has that power and authority, but you've got to recognize it. You've got to be able to see it. Whether others see it or not, it's no concern. Let's go to Mark chapter 1, verse 21. 121. "And he said when he went in there," I'll wait a second. 121. Are you there? It's on page 40 in my book. I know. Okay. "And said they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine." Okay, they were astonished at his teaching, "because he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes." We heard that before, didn't we? When he says it in multiple times, what's he trying to tell you? Emphasis, emphasis, not teaching as the scribes. Okay? Next one's Luke 4:31. Luke 4:31. He said he came down to Capernaum. You know what Capernaum means? Comfort. "A city of Galilee," which is the heathen circle, "and he was teaching them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished," or shocked. They were shocked out of self-possession, that's what I should say, "at his doctrine," or his teaching, "because his word was" with what? Authority. "With power," and literally it should be "in authority." He spoke with authority. Now, is that somebody saying, "Well, I think that's what it means"? No. I don't think that's what he... I know that's not what he said. Okay? And the last one I want to go to is Luke 21:15. Actually, I'm going to back it up into 14. And I want you to hear the emphasis on this verse. It's really important. Okay? Are you there yet? Luke 21:14. Look what it says. "Settle it therefore in your mind." Now you need to underline that sentence, highlight it, something. Settle it. What's that mean? Get it in your mind. Make yourself understand. This is what it says. He said, "Settle it in your mind. Quit wrestling with this thing in your mind. Settle it." Make it absolutely rock hard concrete, reinforced with steel. This thought is what we need to understand. Settle it in your hearts. Not to meditate or premeditate, what it should say before. Don't premeditate what you're going to say. He's telling you, you trust me, I'll put the words in your mouth when you need it. Right? Don't premeditate it. what you shall respond or answer, okay? To defend yourself. That's what it should say. Don't premeditate to defend yourself, because I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or deny, nor resist or oppose. But you shall be betrayed both by parents. Get this. You shall be betrayed by parents, brethren, kinfolk, and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all humanity because of my, what? My name, what? My nature and character. Because of the Christ nature in you, you will be hated by all humanity. And that's not every human being, but it's the ones that's working and functioning as a piece of flesh, not as a spirit of Christ. So when we were, what we were talking earlier, which is not on tape, we were talking earlier about the ones, why do they treat me the way they treat me? Right there it is, see? And he said, very first thing, settled in your mind. Settle in your mind. This is the way it's going to be. So don't worry about it when it happened, because he already told you ahead of time, didn't he? Okay. And see, that's one of those verses, Don, we were talking about at breakfast this morning. I said, right there is the one I was talking about. Settle it. That's the way it's going to be. Okay. Now, I got one verse out of the way. Like I said, I could make that a whole day, but I'm going to go on and get this thing. Okay. Verse 2, it says, because of the transgression of the land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man, and that's an Adamic man, okay, under of understanding, knowledge and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. Let me read it out of the Living Bible. When there is moral rot within a nation, its government topples easily, but the honest, sensible leaders, with honest, sensible leaders, there is stability. Makes sense. Okay. Verse 3, a poor or destitute man that oppresses the poor is like a beating rain which leaves no food. It's kind of like a flash flood. Just wipes out everything.
We've seen
them. Yeah, we've seen enough of them, I guarantee you. The Living Bible says, when a poor man oppresses those even poorer, he is like an unexpected flood sweeping away their last hope. I mean, you know, how depressing is it when you're beat down and then somebody that's been beat down with like you starts beating you down? That's pretty depressing. And that's what he's trying to say. Okay. Verse 4. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Or literally strive with them. Okay? They that forsake the law praise the wicked because they're getting along with them. See? They're compromising. But when you keep the law, there's always going to be contentions. When we're talking about the law, are we really talking about the Old Testament law? We're talking about the Word of God, the love of God. When we keep, and that's the only law of God there is in the New Covenant, love the Lord to God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, love your neighbor as yourself. And who's your neighbor? Everybody. See? We love them all. So when you do this, it says you're going to strive with people. Do you think he knew what he's talking about? Anybody that's talking this way knows that you're going to have a lot of striving with people. Verse 5 goes on and says, evil men understand not judgment. Now, why would he say that? Evil men only look at judgment in one side, the negative side. Would you agree to that?
Yeah.
Majority of people, even church people, when you say judgment, they think negative, negative, negative. Yeah. But there's two sides to every coin, isn't there? There's a positive or a negative. A judge can say, when he gives you a judgment, he can give you a judgment of guilty, or he can give you a judgment of not guilty. Right? So we need to understand evil people only look at it one way, the negative side. That's right. That's the judgment that's already been given. They can't see that one. But they that seek the Lord in worship, it should say, they seek the Lord in worship, understand all. Hello. Now, did God lie when that was written? What do you understand, Don? Three-letter word, A-L-L, right there it is. Verse 5, what's it say?
All.
Okay, there you go. You got to say it yourself. If you don't say it, your mind will never believe it. The first place your words go is right back in your ears.
I'll stir it in my mind.
Yeah, well, we're going to unstir it. We're going to settle it. I'm up on you this morning already, 2-0. Okay.
Back to gamble.
Okay. But we got to realize, but they that seek and worship the Lord understand all. Better is the poor or the destitute that walks or lives in his innocence than he that is perverse in his lifestyle, though he is rich. Pretty straightforward. You don't have to say much about that. If you live it, no matter what you got, you're in good shape. It's not about worldly possessions, is it? Verse 7. You know what worldly possessions is to me?
Just
like a bunch of junk to carry around. It's like a big burden on your back walking through the desert, you know. And if you watch the Jewish people when they come out of Egypt out of bondage, there was a big trail. I guarantee you, everywhere they went, they dropping stuff off. It got too heavy to carry after a while. It wasn't as important about 38 years into this journey. It probably wasn't near as important as it was the day they left Egypt. Don't you imagine? Things became less and less important. They started getting rid of their stuff, at least most of them.
That goes back to what we were talking about earlier.
Yep. Verse 7, whoso keeps the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion or an associate with riotous men shames his father. Proverbs 17:2 tells us something. I'm going to back up there and read it just a second. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame, and he'll have part of the inheritance among the brethren, doesn't he? The Living Bible says it this way: a wise slave will rule his master's wicked sons and share their estate. It'll make them happy, won't it? Okay. He that by usury, or literally that word usury should be interest. He that by interest, and that should be unjust interest and unjust gain, increases his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. So that's saying when you start gouging people like the banks are all doing now, the system's doing now, you're just going to gather it up for somebody that's going to have pity on somebody else, because you're going to end up losing it anyway. You think you're getting it, and all you're doing is you're putting your money in a pocket with holes in it, or a bag with holes in it. It's not going to work. But they all keep gouging. It'll break sooner or later. Their bag will break. Verse 9, he that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be what? The language literally says disgusting to God. When you turn your ear away from hearing what God's telling you, there's no sense talking to God, is there? I've said this for years. People come to me and want counsel, and I give them counsel and they do something else. That's okay. But don't come back and ask for the same thing over and over and over, because you're wasting my time. And see, like he said here, that's disgusting to God. When he gives you the truth and you won't receive it, it's disgusting to him. That's what the language actually says. It's disgusting. And it's disgusting when you're trying to help somebody and then they won't do it and then they complain, well, I got counsel. No, you didn't get counsel. You didn't take the counsel and use it. It's like somebody going to battle and somebody said, here, you need this gun to protect yourself. And they don't. And even if you got bullets in it, you don't know which end to hold to shoot. You know, so you can't take care of yourself. You know, well, I don't want to waste my bullets, so you die because you want to save your bullets. That makes a lot of sense, don't it? You can serve everything. So, but anyway, he says it's an abomination to God. Whosoever causes, verse 10, the riotous righteous to go astray in an evil way or an evil course, he shall fall himself into his own pit. And there's a lot of people that love to take you down with them. Misery loves what? Company. But the upright shall have good in possession. Literally, it should say, they shall have a good inheritance. They'll have a good inheritance. Verse 11, the rich man is wise in his own eyes, not conceit, but his own eyes. But the poor that has understanding does what? Well, the language literally says he examines him intimately. He will examine him intimately. So the rich man, even though he seems to have a lot, he's wise in his own eyes. He thinks he's wise, but the poor man is going to examine him intimately. That means he's going to look what he says and then find out, search it out, and see if he's really telling the truth, huh?
Are you walking?
Yep. Because if you take somebody for face value, you're liable to be in trouble, aren't you? could be in deep trouble. Let me see what the Living Bible says here. I think it's good. Rich men are conceited, but their real poverty is evident to the poor. You search them out. If you have any discernment from God, you'll see through their facade that they are wearing, you know, trying to hide themselves behind their wealth. Verse 12. When the righteous men do rejoice, when righteous do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. Now, that doesn't say it real good. Let me read this out of, let's see what the Living says. No. When the righteous do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, man hides himself. So it should say, man hides himself. When the wicked are in control, what do they try to do? What do you try to do? If a wicked man's in office or in control over you, what do you try to do? Stay away. You hide yourself from him. You know, out of sight, out of mind. Try to get away from him because you know he's wicked, so there's nothing you can do to make it right, can you?
I hear that a lot of words.
Yeah, hiding. Yeah.
Out of sight, out of mind.
That's right. Stay away from him. If they don't see you, then everything's cool, right? Verse 13. He that covers his sin, and the word sin really isn't correct. There it should be rebellion. He that covers his rebellion shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Okay. There's a two-part thing there, right? And I know Paul in Paul's writings, he that confesses and forsakes shall receive mercy. Same thought process out of Proverbs that Paul wrote in one of his writings. I can't think of the writing where it's at. It should be in here, but I don't know what it is. There's one in 1 John 1 and 10. I don't know if that's it or not. There's a reference here. Let me look and see. No, that's not it. Where did I leave out? Okay, 14. Happy is the man that reveres always. Not fears, but reveres. To have reverence all the time. But he that hardens his mind shall fall into what? Evil. He will fall into evil. If your mind gets hard, you're going to fall into evil. Okay, verse 15. As a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. What does that say? What does a lion and a bear do to somebody?
Ravage.
They ravage them, they destroy them, they kill them. And see, a wicked ruler does not think about the poor people, does he? He only thinks about himself and his class of people. Pretty evident. That tells you about the ministries that think about the poor people. I've been around ministries that take advantage of the poor, and they live very well from the poor people, and they talk about them like dirt. They, in private, they call them stupid, you know.
They're self-serving.
It's all self-serving, see. But they want that money. Yep. The lion representing the carnal mind and the bear representing the world. So, but those are already dealt with, see? And now all we got to do is let take care of that carnal mind. That's really all we got to do with. We used to say the devil, you know, in the Old Testament, in the understanding that lion was the devil. As a roaring lion, he walks around seeking whom he may devour, you know. But I don't go along with that thinking any longer. Just like we know there is nothing like that devil running around with a flannel suit. Flip Wilson's the one that got everybody believing that. I mean, he did better than anybody in history about that. About the flannel suit and pitchfork and the, you know, all the red suit and all that, you know. He had that image put in everybody's mind, and that sticks more than anything in his book to most people's mind. They would draw a picture of him. They'd put, you know, the horns and the pitchfork, a long pointy tail and a red flannel suit. Yeah, and yeah, he coined that phrase. But if you think for a second about fire and flannel, that doesn't work together, does it? Flannel don't work. I mean, I know my brother, in fact, we were just talking about it recently when I was in Michigan. He was talking about a handprint being on his hand. I said, that's my handprint, because he caught on fire wearing flannel pajamas, and I slapped the fire out with my hand, and it made a handprint on his back. I said, yep, I know whose handprint it is. I slapped it out. So, flannel don't go good with fire, so why would the devil, in quote, the fiery place they're talking about in hell, why would he wear flannel? He'd be on fire all the time, wouldn't he? See? He'd be running around naked. He wouldn't have no clothes on, would he? That's all foolishness anyway. Let's get back to the good stuff. Verse 16, the prince that wants understanding. Now, I don't know where they got that word wants. It literally means lacks. I can see that a little bit, but still, why don't they just put down the one that lacks understanding is also a great oppressor. If you don't understand what you're doing, you're going to do a lot of damage. But he that hates covetousness or unjust gain shall prolong his days. If you hate the unjust gain, then guess what? You'll get things right. All you got to do is have your mind headed in the right direction, and then it's a piece of cake. God can do anything he wants. It's when you oppose God in your thinking, there's where the trouble really gets big. Verse 17, a man that does violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let none help him. Let none help him. If you're going to kill people, then go ahead and go to the grave. That's what you got to do. Go. God said, let nobody help him. Whoso walks uprightly or in truth shall be delivered. Okay? But he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once, or literally first. He shall fall first. Okay? Let me read this one to you. Proverbs 24. I'm going to back up just a little bit. 24:16. One more page. It says, for a just man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief or misery. That's just a reference to that. Same thing. Verse 18. Whoso walks... I just did that one. What am I doing? Verse 19. He that tills his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that follows after vain persons shall have poverty enough. Now, break it down, and it says this. He that tills his land, what do you think that land is? It's your mind. The Hebrew word there is Adam, 119. 120 is Adam the man, 119 talking about the land, Adam, Adam. Okay? So when you till your own land, what land are we talking about? Between our ears. When we till that land, we will have, you know, shall have plenty of bread or word. Right? We're going to have plenty of the word if we till our land. But he that follows after vain, and the word vain literally means empty persons, shall have poverty, not enough, but poverty to his fill. He will be filled up with poverty. His whole life will be in poverty. Okay? Verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with what? Literally, the language in Hebrew says prosperity. He will abound with prosperity. But see, the religious word blessing sounds better, don't it? To religious people, they like that word blessing. Yeah. But I mean, that's where it came from. I mean, it's from the religious mindset. Everything's a blessing. But the language literally says prosperity. But he that makes haste to be rich shall not... And the word be innocent shouldn't be there. That's just added words. So look at what it says. A faithful man shall abound with prosperity, but he that makes haste to be rich shall not. Shall not what? Shall not have prosperity, right? Verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that makes haste to be rich shall not. I was just reading it again to go on. To have respect of persons is not good, because for a piece of bread that man will what?
Fellow soul.
Okay. But the language literally says he'll abandon one's faith. For a piece of bread he will apostatize, or he will abandon one's faith.
See? Isn't that selling his soul?
Absolutely. Okay. But see, I can, they can have my soul because I'm not worried about it. I'm only worried in my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got too much focus on the soul, because that's still a duality. And we need to realize the spirit is what we're after. Okay, so for a piece of bread, and didn't we talk about a man once, a long time ago, a man that did that, sold his soul, his birthright?
For some soup.
Huh? For a bowl of red soup?
Uh-huh.
bean soup. Got a little gas out of it, but he probably didn't travel too far.
But isn't our development, don't we all do that?
Sure, we've all experienced that. And if we can think for 1 minute that any one of these people in this book, all these examples that's given to us is not examples of ourselves, we're cheating ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. Because everyone that betrayed Christ, everyone that betrayed or deceived or destroyed any of the prophets or any of the men and women of God, we have all done it in our lifetime somewhere. Without being aware of it, doesn't mean we didn't do it. The example, the principle is still there. Okay? Just like the song that, what's his name wrote, that I didn't want to be the blame, I didn't want to cause him pain.
Yeah.
Jerry from Michigan. You know who I'm talking about. But anyway, he wrote that song. He said, I didn't want to be the one to cause him pain. I didn't want to be the blame, you know, to drive the nails. Guess what? We all drove those nails. Humanity drove those nails. So which one of us are not guilty of that? And we all are. But thank God he said, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. Right? Judgment's already been given. I've been forgiven. And we got to see that as ourselves too. Verse 22. He that hastes to be rich has an evil eye, or literally heart, or mind, right? He that hastes to be rich has an evil mind, and considers or knows not that poverty shall come upon him. He doesn't realize when he gets that money, he's so caught up in the money, he don't realize what he's doing is wrong until it's already got him. But the poverty will come back, take everything he's got. Verse 23. He that rebukes or literally corrects a man afterwards shall find or shall attain to favor, more favor than he that flatters with his tongue. Let me read that out of the Living Bible. 23. In the end, people appreciate frankness more than flattery. Some people do and some don't. We've talked about that this morning. We say we do, but you know, some don't. Okay, I appreciate someone being straight with me. Verse 24, whoso robs his father or his mother and says it's no transgression or it's not rebellion, the same is a companion to the destroyer. Verse 24 in the Living Bible says it this way. A man who robs his parents and says, what's wrong with that, is no better than a murderer. And under the law, when we were under the law, before the new covenant came in, if you're guilty of one part of the law, what are you guilty of? The whole thing, see? That's why the penalty was death for violating the law, because you were guilty of the whole law. If you, any part of it you violated, you'd got the whole thing. Verse 25, he that is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. You know what that word really says?
Prosper.
What'd you say, Lois? Yes. He shall be anointed. Now, what does the word anointed mean? Well, Jesus was he was called the Christ. Christos means the anointed. So he said, but he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be anointed, or will be the Christ. And Christ is a many-membered body, isn't it? See? To be part of the Christ, we got to trust God in all things. Not in some things, but all things. 27?
Six.
He that trusts, okay, yeah. He that trusts in his own mind is a what?
Fool.
And that word fool literally means stupid, simple, or arrogant one. You're stupid, simple, or arrogant if you trust your own mind. See? I believe that. But whoso lives wisely, he shall be delivered. If I live wisely, I'll be delivered.
From what?
From my thinking. See, if I don't trust in that foolish mind of mine, I'll be all right. I'll be delivered. He that gives unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hides his eyes shall have many a curse. Just saying we need to give to the poor. When we have abundance, what should we do with it? Store it up or share it? Sure we should. We should be able to share with people that have needs. And God puts people in our lives a lot of times just so we can share with them. Just so we can share the abundance He's given us to give to them. Now, He didn't tell us to be stupid with it. And didn't say go out and look for somebody. Because if someone would stack up $1 million in front of me right here on the floor this morning, I couldn't take care of a quarter of a mile around me, the needs and wants of people. I couldn't do it. That's not the point. The point is, listen to God. Listen to the Spirit in you, whether you should be doing this one or that one. Don't do it just because somebody said somebody has a need, go out there and try to fulfill the need. That's insane. You can't do it. It's impossible. It's like pushing the tracks. Leave it alone. Let God give you. Jesus didn't heal everybody on the face of the earth when he lived here. He only touched the ones his Father told him to touch. He only moved anything. Only thing he said I did was what my Father told me to do. He didn't go out and do it on his own. When the wicked rise, verse 28, when the wicked rise, men hide themselves. But when the wicked perish or are destroyed, the righteous increase. Let me read something. I got a verse here I want to look at. Just a second. 1 John. Let me read this verse again. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when the wicked perish or are destroyed, the just or the righteous increase. In 1 John 3 and 8 it says, he that commits sin is of the devil, because the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest or made apparent, that he destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, because his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born from God, from out of God. In this the children of God are made apparent, they're manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. It's just basic, simple observations that Solomon has given to us.
You'll know a tree by the fruit it bears.
Absolutely. And a tree doesn't bear good fruit and bad fruit, neither does a fountain have good water and bitter water, sweet water and bitter water. So when someone tries to sell you they're a good person, see what kind of fruit's hanging on the tree. See what kind of water's gushing out of their fountain.